Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Ricecast. My name is Anthony Russo. I am sitting here across from Dr., Pastor, and Mr. Willie Rice. Pastor, how are you today?
Doing great. Good to be here with you. Beautiful day.
It is a week
in Clearwater.
It's a beautiful week in Clearwater. How's your March Madness bracket holding up?
I did not have Farley Dickinson knocking off Purdue.
Very few
Nor
people
did anyone else.
You know what's one thing I'd like discovered this year? At some point, someone will get this perfect bracket, and that person will be a psychopath.
Yeah.
Because why would you pick Farley Dickinson to beat Purdue?
Yeah.
There's no logical reason.
Yeah. That's what it's a fun sporting event. We're talking about college basketball, of course.
That's
because
right.
of that, you don't even have to be a great college basketball fan throughout most of the year.
You don't.
You just follow it a little bit.
That's right.
And then March Madness comes, and it's so much fun to watch these teams competing. In fact, my son was at the house Saturday, and some game was on. I forget who it was. Two teams, obviously. And I said, something about March Madness makes this game compelling. He said, you know, if this game had been on a month ago.
That's right.
I would have gone, there's nothing on TV today. Yeah. It's like, who are these teams? We wouldn't watch these teams.
So true.
But because it's March Madness, you're like, wow, I wonder who's going to win this
game. That's right.
And so it's a lot of fun. And unfortunately, we don't have any Florida teams, I think, in there. Maybe.
No.
Florida Atlantic is in there.
FAU made it. And I think Miami made it.
Yes, I think Miami's still alive. Yeah.
And so there's a couple.
So there are two from there, but.
Couple around, but it wasn't a great year. It's so true, though. Yeah, you get this. All of a sudden, I'm very invested in Loyola. I don't even know where this is on a map. But go Loyola. That's what I'm pulling for. Princeton on a big run. My son, we picked a bracket with the family. My son picked all the Tiger teams. That was his strategy.
Well,
and he's got Princeton still going.
What's great is a kid can have a strategy like that and beat you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, who has the best mascots? Who has the best colors? And they win.
He's all in on Tigers, man. Memphis, Princeton, you name it. He picked the Tigers. Auburn, I think. Are they the Tigers?
Yeah, but they're out.
They're out. They didn't go too far. Oh, it's a fun time. We are here at Calvary, coming up here towards the end of our X150 Impact Series. I'm going to start right here. I'm going to come out of the gate hot with a question for you, Pastor. We're 4 days away from Commitment Sunday. What's going through your mind today?
Gratitude for, because as much as we're talking about what we're going to do in the next 3 years, I think it's also been a celebration of what has been accomplished in the last 7 years.
Absolutely.
And, we think of all the partnerships we've developed. Every week has been telling a different story.
Mm-hmm.
For those who have been part of the services or watched them online, whether it was international church planning or national church planning or the adoption foster care ministry or the college concept, we've been telling a story every week.
Mm.
And we've been sharing stories of young people that have been sent out on missions and sent out to do church planning. So it's been a seven-week time of storytelling and giving thanks to God for what he has done. And then I'm thankful for a church that is, hey, what are we doing next?
Mm.
You know, where are we going next? What are we doing? And to me, that's just such an exciting thing to be a part of that, rather than just, hey, what are we doing for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are we running after?
Sure.
And where are we running? What are we running after? So I'm very grateful to be in this church. And whatever happens, you know, whatever we receive from the people, from the Lord, we're going to be thankful for it, celebrate,
mm-hmm.
and then try to be faithful to do what we can with what we have.
Yeah. It's been such an incredible run. I mean, there's been every week, like you said, and what's special about these weeks, it's not even been one story. It's been multiple stories.
Yeah.
It's been multiple stories on the same service where we're hearing from our people being sent. We're hearing from partners. You think back to that Matt and Laney story on the first week that was so moving for so many. It's just been a special couple of weeks here at Calvary. And running up to Commitment Sunday, I don't want to go past, though. We had this last Sunday, was another one of those weeks like we described. We talked about UUPGs, talked about sending. I want to talk about all that today on the podcast. But I got to ask you, we did a commissioning Sammy and Mariah Rodriguez, so moving. I mean, there's an image we ended up sharing of everybody praying over them here at the Clearwater campus, and all of our campuses were streaming at that point. You know, online, people are in the chat. I'm bawling watching this service this morning. And I even know that first service, it seemed like you got a little bit emotional as you were praying over them. What was going through your head during that moment as we were sending out Sammy and Mariah?
Well, you know, that we just watched them. You know, I can remember Mariah being a student here at Calvary Christian High School, coming through. She's a young person. My wife had a lot of influence in Mariah's life, mentored her. And in fact, my wife was talking about, this is an aside, kind of so several of these young women, Emily. Mm-hmm. We heard the video from Andrew and Emily Hannigan,
that's right,
who have been sent out. Emily, Mariah, and I forget who other, maybe Hannah, Zess Hannah, Zess and Hannah Hill, yeah, are in London. But the several of the, Shannon Rogers, yeah, who is one of our missionaries. That Cheryl just had a unique opportunity while she worked in the high school to mentor a lot of those young women. Mm. So, you know, she was invested in it. But what was going through my mind is just watching Sammy grow into a young man here, and as an intern and then a staff member. And he's been a preacher here at Calvary and an outstanding one, I might add. One of our finest young preachers to have come up. And honestly, he's one of those we would keep beyond staff. I guarantee you, it wasn't like we want him to leave. We would love to him to stay. And but, you know, God has put a call on their hearts to go to the nations. So I think it's just watching what God's done in their life. Here's this young couple. They could, you know, choose a much easier path, much more comfortable. Instead, they are just giving it all for the gospel. And that moves me. It moves me. And, you know, it's we learned to call them gospel goodbyes. That came from one of our partners in the SALT Network. They use that little phrase, and I've picked up on it. Gospel goodbyes. It's when we send, if you're a sending church, there's going to be frequent gospel goodbyes, where you say goodbye to people that you've trained, you've prepared, and now you're sending them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's emotional.
Yeah.
That's emotional.
It is. And I mean, in the week I think it was the week prior that we heard from John Antonucci, might have been 2 weeks prior, but that had a similar feel of like you invest in these people for that fruit to then yielded in another place. It's, I don't know if there's any more perfect visual of this vision
and again,
in practice.
He's another one. I promise you, we've kept on. We wanted, you know, there were times we tried to keep John.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You could stay here and do this and do this.
Yeah.
And we weren't trying to tempt him or defy the will of God. We just,
sure,
like, these are outstanding young leaders, which we would have relished keeping right here.
That's right.
Serving, and they would have borne fruit here. But God sends them out, and we rejoice in that. And a church is planted, and a new missionary is sent. And it would be, you know, we'd have more people if we kept them all, but God has told us, send them. And we've been in a sending state now for a number of years, and it's a rejoice. And again, it's the difference between addition and multiplication.
That's it.
We didn't focus on addition. We focused on multiplication. And so it's a different win, but it's powerful when you see these young people going out and serving and know that they're going to be making a difference in the kingdom that will last for years and indeed into eternity.
Mm-hmm. And it was so special this last Sunday. As always, I'll put the link to the service in the show notes. But it was special this last Sunday having our friend Jared from the IMB here with us.
Yep, Jared Howe.
You got to do a brief interview with him. He got to be a part of the commissioning and all that. That was really special. And we introduced a concept, which might be new to some of our people, of a UUPG.
Yep.
Unreached, unengaged people group.
Yep.
And that's part of this vision, is to see 150 of those UUPGs, which I think we cover is about 3,000, a little over 3,000 of them across the world right now. Is that right?
Yep, about 3,000. Most missiologists would say a tick above that. And let me just say this about Jared Houck again, because it just, one of our partners, and through our International Mission Board, which is our primary, we partner with lots of gospel works, but that's our primary international partnership. through our cooperative ministries and cooperative missions. And we will now have 17 people serving internationally by the end of this year through our International Mission Board. But Jerick Houck is one of hundreds, even one of thousands, of international missionaries that we are able to support through our cooperative missions. And I just wish people could see the quality and caliber of people that are out there. Mm. You get a taste with Jared. He's one of the best. Been out there 18 years in South Asia. Mm. I've been to his home. It's not an easy place to live. When you're in a different culture, everything just kind of smacks you in the face. Mm-hmm. The smells, the sounds. I was walking down a street with him last year in South Asia, and I said, "How long does it take you to get used to this?" And he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" I kind of did my hands everything around me and said, "This, everything. Like, look at the street. Like, there's a pig running down the street. Right. Like, that just doesn't happen in Clearwater.
Largo.
It does in Largo, but not in Clearwater." Anthony lives in Largo.
I'm from Largo.
But they are the Packers. They used to have a pig on their helmet. So there you go. But you know, just the sights, the smells, it's just different. And but he was like a fish in water. He was like, whatever. It's in fact, it's hard for me to get used to going back to the States now. He said, these people have courageously planted their lives in cross-cultural situations for the sake of the gospel. Mm. They could have lived. Jared's. I'll just tell you his story. He has a very successful brother. You can just tell when you're around Jared. You know, the intelligence, the giftedness, the ability, he could have been a tremendous success in business, in any number of things. Mm-hmm. And yet he is completely content and joyful having given his life for the gospel that people will come to know Christ. Mm. And I that story could be repeated over and over again. I was talking to some of our kids who just got back from London, and they were talking about the missionaries that we partner with there. Mm. I'm just so grateful, and I want Calvary to know it's a privilege to partner with missionaries like that. Now, the UUPG is a concept missiologists use, unreached, unengaged people groups. There are over, I think I'm going to be right, someone could correct us, about 13,000 different ethno-linguistic people groups that can be identified around the world.
Okay.
That's one number I've heard. Maybe others would see a different number, but there are a lot. Mm-hmm. Let's just put a lot. And a people group is defined because they share an ethnicity, a language, a culture.
Okay.
And it separates them.
Mm-hmm.
People do tend to flock together with people who share their language, their ethnic background, and, their geography. We live in a broad culture where there's a diversity of people, which is a beautiful thing to see. But people tend to flock with their culture, their race, their language, and that's how they do life. So you can identify people groups around the world. There are about 3,000, about one in four-ish, that are still engaged as unreached, unengaged people groups, which means there's little or no gospel witness there. Mm. There's no church planting movement happening. And so we have targeted 150 unreached, unengaged people groups in our X150 Impact.
Mm.
And our goal is to identify them, prayerfully engage them. That means to begin praying and to begin praying about how they can be engaged with the gospel, and then to look for ways that we can perhaps even physically engage them. It's a huge goal.
Mm.
But what you should know about Jared, what you should know about South Asia, what you should know about where Andrew and Emily are being sent, Jeff and Bridget are being sent, where Sammy and Mariah are being sent in that South Asia, is about one in three of the world's unreached, unengaged people groups are there in that area, geographic area of South Asia. And so it's very strategic in being able to engage those people.
Mm-hmm. And this one really, I mean, I know maybe just for me, but maybe I'm speaking for some other members of the Calvary family. Man, this goal, this particular part of the vision seems awful big. You know, I look at, something exciting like Calvary College, and I think, well, but there are other colleges.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is a road that maybe's been, but you think about, I think Andrew, I think it was Emily mentioned something about, why sometimes these people are unreached. It's because they're very difficult to reach.
That's exactly right. They're remote. Like Jared was talking about an unreached, unengaged people group, and you went to the end of the road, which I've been in South Asia. If when you're on the road, that can be dicey.
Right.
When you get to the end of the road,
right,
you are at the end of the road.
Right.
And then he said, and then it's what, did he say, a five-hour hike from the end of the road?
It was,
I can't remember,
multiple,
it was 5 day or 5 hour.
Yeah.
But so you get to the end of the road, and then it's a five-hour hike.
Yeah.
And that's just where this group of people lives. And it might be 5,000 people or something.
Right.
So they are hard to get to.
Yeah.
It's not like you just walk, well, it's, you know, you fly into the airport and then go to the supermarket.
Sure.
And there they are. It's there, you know. And, of course, language barriers, cultural barriers, many barriers.
Yeah.
So it's a very hard goal. And yet, you know, we need to believe God for impossible things.
Mm.
And we've learned in X150, when we started this, you know, the idea of being a part of planting 150 churches was outrageous to some people.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've seen ways in which God has allowed us to be a part of more than 120 church starts.
Wow.
When you talk about 150 unreached people groups, okay, yes, that is absolutely impossible for a church to run after.
Mm.
But let's start praying. Let's identify them. And we can do that. Right?
Yeah.
We can do that. I mean, we can identify 150 because we're not starting with scratch there. There are people
That's
who
right.
have identified these groups. And so we can identify where they are. We can call people to pray. And then we can pray for engagement.
Mm.
And we'll see what God does. It is a goal that is almost, humanly speaking, impossible.
Mm.
But, you know, with God, all things are possible. So we're going to pray. We're going to talk about them. And by God's grace, we're going to be able to see many of them engage with the gospel.
Mm. So exciting. And you were, your message, your sermon on Sunday, we talked some about miracles. We talked about the miraculous. We talked about the feeding of the 5,000 story. And I thought you had such an interesting line in there. I kind of wanted to ask you a little follow-up question on, because it was the story is, Jesus approaches Philip, right, one of the disciples, and says, you know, there's all these people, we should get some food for them. How are we going to do that? And so the disciples, it was funny the way you told the story, and they're trying to figure out how to do all this. And they come up with this little boy's lunch, some fish and some loaves. I love the line you said, you know, it's that young child offering that lunch. It's not like God or Jesus in that moment says, like, whew, boy, we were in trouble there until this lunch showed up. I don't know how we were going to do this until that lunch showed up. So it's just an interesting point there, I guess. My question is, why do you think, when we know it's not for the function of God's not able to do something without our help, why do you think God invites us into these, into the miraculous, into these situations, even as far as we can get?
That's a great question, because, you know, the story illustrates God doesn't need us, obviously.
Right.
But the Bible says Jesus did this in order to test them, to test them. And so you have to say, okay, what does that mean?
Hmm.
This isn't like, I'm trying to trick you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to show off for the sake of showing off. Although I do think God does what he does so that we might see his glory, we might see his character, his nature.
Yeah.
And thus trust him and praise him and be drawn toward him. But what does it mean then to test? In a sense, it is to strengthen them.
Hmm.
It is to cause them, you know, what are you going to do? Well, there's no answer there. What a test is like, okay, how are you going to answer this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you run through the scroll of options, humanly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can imagine the disciples huddling up going, you're not going to believe it. He's asking us to feed these people. And they're going through their options. Well,
right.
We could do this. We could do that. No. That one. Could we do that? No. Could we do that? No. And they're like, and Andrew's like, well, I found two fish and five loaves. You know, they scroll through all the options and realize we can't do what he's asking us to do.
Right.
We can't do that.
Right.
Jesus allowed them to see their complete and utter inability.
Right.
And yet, what else did they see? It wasn't then to frustrate them,
mm-hmm.
but so that they would then see his complete and utter capability to do the miraculous, the supernatural, so that his work could be done. Why did they need to learn that? So the crowd would be fed that day? No. That was a sign pointing to the reality of Jesus. As we know, Jesus didn't come to provide free fish and chips. Mm-hmm. You can eat today, you'll be hungry tomorrow. It's nice to give people a meal,
sure,
but you know, we need to give them the bread of life. That's that whole story.
Right.
So one, the miracle was a sign, but in their own lives, in the disciples' lives, he said to test them. I think it was because he understood what he would be asking them to do in the years to come, the decades to come. He would be asking them, in essence, to give their lives for the kingdom of God. That moment taught them to trust Jesus, to trust that he can do anything. And in essence, they were being asked to give their lives for the kingdom. And I think, therefore, the answer to your question, God invites us into his work because he is inviting us into himself. He is inviting us to trust him. He is, what he is doing in us is as important as what he is doing through us. Mm. Because what he is intending to do is in us, to conform us to the image of Christ. Obviously, what he's doing through us is for his glory and for his kingdom. But that part of that is what he's doing in us.
Yeah.
And so I think he invites us into his work because it changes us.
Mm.
It changes us. It draws us to himself. It causes us to see our inability, his great capability, and we can trust him in all things. So I think that has to be the reason even today. Why does God invite us into his work? Because he loves us.
Hmm.
Because we could, he could cast us aside and we could clutch on to our few coins of gold and live a completely empty life and demonstrate the truth that a man may gain the whole world but lose his own soul and he's profited nothing.
Hmm.
God instead invites us into that which is real and genuine and lasting and eternal. And thus he has to challenge us. I think he has to stretch us. He has to push us. And we have to be willing to let go and be willing to truly trust him. So this is why I think God invites us into his work, because he knows we need something more than the money in the bank.
Yeah.
We really don't need that to find life.
Right.
Man can't live by bread alone.
Right.
You may have a lot of money in the bank, but it's not where you find real life. If you want to find real life, you will find, he's the bread of life.
Hmm.
So I think he invites us into his work because we need to see he's the bread of life and that I can completely trust him and I can obey him and that he can do supernatural things.
Mm. And there's a real tension that's born from that in that, you know, so you're both acknowledging that my role in this is not sufficient. I won't be able to, I can't do it. Whatever I do in this, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't absolve you from your participation, right?
Right.
So there's a tension there of like, well, I can't feed all these people,
yeah,
but I am asked to do what I can do.
Again and again, you see in the miracles, the blind man, you know, is asked to go and wash. The you know, in this story, the boy is asked to give his loaves and fishes.
Mm.
Lazarus, unbind him, you know, roll away the tomb. Again and again, you see in miraculous stories that there are things people have to do.
Yeah.
And as I said, we don't create the miracles, but we are invited to participate in the miracles. And we participate by obeying him.
Mm.
And then we get to see something that is far beyond ourselves. So could God do it without us? Of course. And, you know, I guess one of the great mysteries remains why he doesn't, because it would certainly seem more efficient for him to do it without us.
Right.
But I think he loves us.
Yeah.
I know he loves us. I think it's because he loves us.
Yeah.
And he is trying to do something in us.
Right.
That he invites us to participate in his work.
Mm. That's so good. And even as you say that, you know, you think of these miraculous stories in the Bible and how often even the limited participation is met with resilience. You know, I even think of the Lazarus story in the first where it was like, it's going to stink.
Yeah, yeah.
If we move that stone, it's going to stink in there. And how funny that looks from our perspective, because we're like, he's trying to bring him back to life.
Yeah.
Like, can we perspective this a little bit? We told the story of the jars at the start of this whole thing and how, you know, it was noted they even had to say, hey, don't just get a few jars, as if to speak to, I know you're going to be hesitant to go get. It's almost like there's always this hesitancy to do your little part of this thing. It's interesting.
Yep. And I think that speaks to, you know, our lack of faith, our greed, the materialism, wanting idolatry. And we are hesitant. And it's like the Bible is prodding us. No, do this. Trust him. And see what God will do.
Well, here we are. We, like I mentioned at the top, we find ourselves just a few days out of Commitment Sunday. I'm wondering, for this X150 Impact vision, I'm wondering, what is it you, as a Calvary family, what should we be doing right now in preparation for Sunday, each and every one of us?
I think praying, asking God, what does he want you to do? So that, you know, if everyone just really does take time to say, God, what is it you want me to do? Don't just, you know, what can I do? No, what is it you want me to do? I think if everyone does that and then does what he says, whatever he puts on your heart, I mean, we can't ask for more than that. So I think one is to pray. Be here. Sunday's going to be an exciting day, and it's not going to be the kind of day where anybody feels put on the spot or anything like that. So if you're worried about some kind of thing that feels awkward, don't worry about it. It's going to be a fun day and a wonderful time, and everyone will be able to feel like they're a part. And I'm excited about the message. A lot of things are going to happen. It'll be a wonderful day.
Yeah.
And so pray. Number two, be here. And obviously, if those who are listening today and wanting to know how can we be prepared, well, be prepared to make a commitment of what you believe you can do over the next 3 years, above and beyond a normal tithe and offering, that can go to X150 Impact, the very things that we have talked about. And put that out there. Ask God to move. Ask God to bless. And, you know, ask him what he wants you to do. Be ready to make a commitment. And then ask him to bless it.
It's going to be an exciting day this coming Sunday at every Calvary campus. You are not going to want to miss it. You know, this Sunday will be exciting in its own right. But surely, you know, after 7 weeks we've been talking about this, we produced a whole book about X150 Impact. A lot of you got it in the first couple of weeks. There's no way there could be anything new to talk about on Sunday. Right, Pastor?
That's a little bit of a teaser, because actually we do have something that we did not anticipate that we would be able to share, and we did not plan this weeks ago. This was something, I'm trying to think what the day is, I would say a month ago, we did not see coming. And we do believe we're going to be able to share some of that Sunday. So a little bit of a teaser. We have a big announcement.
It's a very big announcement. You're going to want to be there on Sunday. That's all we can say. If you're as shocked as I am, listener, because you're like, surely they've been talking about a lot of X150 stuff. The cupboard's got to be empty. There can't be anything left to say. And yet, there's more. So you're going to want to be there Sunday. It's going to be an exciting time. Hope that you can join us. Hey, if you are listening, you joined on, maybe you've missed a couple of weeks, you can get caught up on all things X150 at calvary.us. Wow, I said that weird. calvary.us/X150. That's where you can get all the information. You can also make your pledge there. Hey, we do understand people travel and things. If you're not going to be there this Sunday and you know that now, encourage you to make your pledge ahead of time. And again, you can do all that at calvary.us/X150. Excited for Sunday, man. Hopefully you are too. We love you. We will see you on campus this coming Sunday for Commitment Sunday. And we'll be back with another podcast episode here very soon.